Hello, I'm Joey Haskins, and welcome back to You've Never Seen, in which I showcase a movie you've probably never seen before, where it's our 50th episode, and we're looking at something that I don't like once again. And much like Beauty and the Beast, it does relate to something that I grew up on. And that thing today is the Looney Tunes. I've been watching Looney Tunes cartoons for as long as I can remember, and they're still funny today. They're awesome, and deserve to be in the same conversation as several of the golden age films of Hollywood as formative for the industry and its history. The Toons have become iconic in their own right. However, over the past 30 years, the Looney Tunes have taken a back seat when it comes to anything, really. Sure, there are a couple of shows about them every now and again, and they are the mascot for the Six Flags theme parks, but there isn't anything of note that they've done recently that is people clamoring over them. Well, almost anything. In the 90s, one of the biggest people in the world at the time was Michael Jordan, the basketball player for the Chicago Bulls. So popular that the company Nike produced shoes alongside Jordan called Air Jordans. A commercial for the shoes was made alongside Spike Lee, playing the character Mars Blackman from his movie She's Gotta Have It. The commercials pretty much embody what advertising was like for that time. And for the Super Bowl of 1992 and 1993, advertiser Jim Riswald wanted to go bigger with an Air Jordan commercial, choosing for Jordan to star in a commercial alongside Bugs Bunny. These commercials, titled Aerospace Jordan and Hair Jordan, were very popular and sparked a renewed interest in Bugs and the Looney Tunes. This resulted in a film about the commercial to be greenlit. A film based on a commercial, which is in turn based on the Looney Tunes and Michael Jordan. And after a time of being shelved while Jordan retired and then unretired from basketball, Space Jam went into production. Space Jam is a 1996 animation live-action hybrid sports film starring Jordan and Bugs Bunny, in which the two team up to defeat a group of aliens in a basketball game to prevent the Toons from becoming slaves at an amusement park. Yep, too easy. One of the film's main inspirations was, of course, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, an absolutely brilliant film combining live-action and animation. In fact, when producer Ivan Reitman went to Roger Rabbit director Robert Zemeckis for advice on making Space Jam, he said to not do it. It nearly killed him. At the same time, Jordan's agent had always barred him from starring in films because he's always thought he could only play himself, which is basically code for he's a terrible actor. And yeah, Jordan is very bad in this film. Remember a few months ago when I did a whole theme on musicians being actors and how they don't necessarily have to be that good as long as they have charm? Well, for sports stars, it's harder. At least the musicians are in the realm of the arts, so the transition from that to acting isn't a stretch. But sports? It almost rarely works. And shock of all shocks, Jordan has absolutely no charm. It just kind of feels like he's reading lines off a paper and doesn't even know where to look for the animation to line up half the time. He's just there, and it sticks out in a film where everything else is extremely obnoxious. But Jordan isn't alone. We also have actual actors in this film, with Danny DeVito voicing the villain of the film, Swackhammer, and also National Treasure Wayne Knight playing Jordan's assistant. I almost feel bad that he's in this film considering how much I love him, but that's the way it is. We also have Teresa Randall in the film, who plays Michael's wife, but she's in it so little there's not much to go off from her performance. Bill Murray also makes an appearance in the film, who's only there because his friend is a producer. No, seriously. That is the reason they say why he's there in the film. And that brings us to the real stars of the film, the Looney Tunes. They're not in this film. Oh sure, these characters do look, talk, and act like the Looney Tunes, but they aren't the Looney Tunes. I'm almost convinced they were replaced by pod people for this film, and these are just doppelgangers, because that's what they feel like as someone who grew up on the Looney Tunes. It doesn't make sense to me why my two favorite Looney Tunes, the Roadrunner and the Coyote, would put aside their differences in this basketball game. The Looney Tunes are all like that in this film, out of character, and are essentially brand ambassadors for Warner Brothers so they can draw in money and worship their gold-encrusted overlords. They come off as annoying and really have only one personality trait, being nuts. It's like that sort of loose cannon wildcard character you see in films, only there are like 20 of them, and they're all excruciatingly irritating. It's no surprise that one of original Looney Tunes voice actor Mel Blanc's successors, Joe Alasky, backed out of the film in the audition process. Yeah, auditioning, to voice characters he already voiced, which included both Bugs and Daffy. It feels like this film was set up to fail from the start, And sure enough, when the film came out, many critics didn't like it, and it isn't really that surprising. Legendary director of several Looney Tunes shorts, Chuck Jones, was very critical of the film and had the same problem I had. The Looney Tunes are out of character. But of course, it didn't matter, because it made over $250 million. This is probably in due part to the fact that this is based off a commercial, so naturally the marketing of the film was really good. And with that success, a sequel to Space Jam went into development almost immediately, with initial plans for Jordan to come back. But he wasn't all in for a sequel, and thus the idea was dropped. Other potential sequels were rumored, including movies starring Jackie Chan, Jeff Gordon, and even Tiger Woods. There was also a film called Skate Jam, starring Tony Hawk, that was in early development, but was thankfully shelved after the performance of the next movie starring the Looney Tunes. In development for the Space Jam sequel, Warner Brothers asked Joe Dante, director of Gremlins, to helm the film. Out of a dislike for Space Jam and respect for Chuck Jones, who had recently passed away, he sought to make a Looney Tunes film where the Toons were more in character. That brings us to Looney Tunes Back in Action. This time around, it stars actual actors in Brendan Fraser and Jenna Elfman, and Joe Wolaski does come back to voice both Bugs and Daffy. Back in Action is the best of all three of the films today, and even then it's not that great. The story does put the Looney Tunes back in their most natural habitat, the studio backlot. Now, much like Roger Rabbit, they are stars acting in these shorts. But the actual plot itself is kinda jarring. Warner Brothers for some reason fires Daffy because he's not as popular as Bugs, which makes about as much sense as splitting up Abbott and Costello. It just doesn't add up. And quickly Warner Brothers realizes that, forcing their executive of comedy, played by Elfman, to get Daffy back alongside Bugs. Little do they know that Daffy has teamed up with disgraced guard DJ to search for his dad, played by Timothy Dalton. The villain of the film is also played by Steve Martin, who is so over the top, I honestly can't tell if he's trying or not. And then of course we get to the Looney Tunes themselves, and they are pretty good in this film. They're animated by Eric Goldberg, who's known as the chief animator for the Genie in Aladdin. They're all done pretty good and are blended well into live action. It's not great, but it's still better than Space Jam. And, most importantly, they are funny. The Looney Tunes in this film feel like the Looney Tunes and have some pretty good visual gags. Dante has admitted that this film is more focused on the jokes and less on the story. And it does show, as the characters go from one location to another rather haphazardly. But the visual gags, especially the ones involving the Looney Tunes, are very good. There's a car chase with Yosemite Sam, we get some good stuff with the coyote, and the best scene in the film, in which Bugs and Daffy are chased by Elmer Fudd throughout the Louvre, is absolutely awesome. The scene probably makes the film worth watching. It is just pure Looney Tunes, and it's animated really well. But I'm remiss to think that maybe the film could have been better. Dante has said that he had no creative control in the film, and when that happens, that is not a good sign. The beginning, middle, and end of the film was completely different from what he envisioned, and who knows, maybe it would have been good, but we'll probably never know. And although he didn't make the film he wanted, he did retain the personalities of the Toons, which in a way is the most important thing about these movies. And hey, this is the only Looney Tunes movie where they feel like the Looney Tunes. But I guess Warner Brothers wasn't cool with that. Apparently they had hired a bunch of gag writers to rewrite parts of the script to make jokes fitting for an animated character's mouth. And yet there's still only one credited screenwriter, not to mention that Warner Brothers released it at the worst time. It was originally scheduled for a summer 2003 release, but they didn't want to go up against Finding Nemo, which was a pretty smart choice. However, they instead released it in November of 2003, just after Elf and a few weeks before the third Lord of the Rings film. Not to mention that they refused to promote it because of its chaotic production. And it's sad really that it had to be that way. Back in Action had a lot of potential, but unfortunately didn't have the backing to achieve it. It made only $60 million and really sidelined the Looney Tunes. And thus, for years afterwards, the Looney Tunes found their home on television. They'd release a new show every now and again. Some were good, some were bad, but they didn't go away. They were still around and showed that there's still a market for them. At the same time, critical reception of Space Jam had changed, as the kids who grew up watching the film were now older. And with a new interest in the film, Warner Brothers, in 2014, had announced a new Space Jam film, this time with LeBron James in the lead role. The film also went through production hell, just like the first two. At first, it was going to have Justin Lin from Fast and Furious fame to direct it, but eventually went to Terrence Nance and then went to Malcolm D. Lee, with Ryan Coogler coming on as producer. And if that wasn't disconcerting enough, the film has 6 writers on it. 6 writers! And even Coogler and Seth Ohanian rewrote the script a bit, so that's 8 writers! The film also had a release date of 2021, right in the cusp of a global pandemic. So yeah, a lot is going against this film. But Space Jam: A New Legacy was released in 2021. The film is a reboot sequel of Space Jam? I'm not really sure. There's some scenes where the Toons mention the previous film, but a lot of it pretends like the first never happened and that it is a film that was made in this universe. Much like the first film, LeBron James is forced to play a game of basketball with the Looney Tunes with world-ending implications. However, what's different is that LeBron is facing his son, who's been tricked into facing his dad by this AI who wants to prove he's better than LeBron because he's the best basketball player there is. Well, that argument can be saved for the people who talk about sports. Anyway, how does the film fare? Is it good? Is it bad? Why are you even asking? Why else would I cover it in this video? It's bad. Like, really bad. But not as bad as the first Space Jam. I'll say this, LeBron is a better actor than Michael Jordan is, which isn't necessarily a high bar, but it's something. He does have a little bit of charm, but I feel like they wanted to give him some kind of character development that LeBron just can't act out well. Cedric Joe, who plays his son, is pretty good, but he doesn't really talk a lot throughout the film, so we don't get a lot from him. The film also has several others in it, including Sonequa Martin-Green, Steven Yeun, Sarah Silverman, Austin Powers, King Kong, The Iron Giant, Little Rel Howery, Ernie John- Wait a minute! Steven Yeun and Sonequa Martin-Green? This is the first time they've been together since The Walking Dead! Oh yeah, and a bunch of other Warner Brothers characters also appear in this film. Yeah, so the reasoning behind the Toons appearing in the film are that they are part of the Warner Brothers serververse, where all the Warner Brothers properties reside and most of them watch the basketball game. What's weird is the way the serververse is framed. It's like all these properties have their own planet or something, the most jarring of which is Casablanca. What are you going to put in a whole planet from one movie? Wait, so does that mean there's a whole planet based around, I don't know, Million Dollar Baby? Or Tootsie? Oh boy, can't wait to go to the planet for the movie Racing Stripes! This serververse is the domain of Al G, the aforementioned AI and villain of the movie played by Don Cheadle, which is really sad because I'm a big fan of his. Apparently he was a fan of the original film and signed on when he was pitched the idea. And hey, he's giving it his all. But much like the first film, it doesn't manage to be entertaining or funny. The whole film isn't funny. Actually, there is one scene in this film that's funny. A scene during the halftime of the game where LeBron and the Toons are losing hard, and Sylvester brings in Michael Jordan. And it's a big build-up to him coming into their locker room, only to reveal Michael B. Jordan. And Daffy says,
"We couldn't get Michael A. Jordan, so we got Michael B. Jordan?"
That is the only funny scene in this film. And thus, that once again brings us to the Toons themselves. And you know how I mentioned that the original film had them insanely out of character? Well, in this film, they don't have characters. Seriously, they're kind of just there because they need to be. Glorified cardboard cutouts are what they are. But they don't act even remotely like their Looney Tunes counterparts. There are brief glimpses of their personalities every now and again, but they don't really do anything except be punching bags for a few minutes. But the worst of them all is Bugs Bunny. Bugs Bunny is the type of character who doesn't seek help from people, yet in this film he tries so hard to keep the other Looney Tunes characters together like they're some kind of family. Joey in the back here. How are we supposed to know that? He's just so pathetic, and he doesn't even act like Bugs. But the main thing that I really hate about this film is the implication that the Looney Tunes are washed up. A few times in this film, they refer to the Looney Tunes as rejects, or not that famous. And it makes me think about how Warner Brothers just greenlit this because they knew that it was going to be a surefire hit and they didn't care what happened with the Toons. It's actually kind of ironic since the studio likes to flaunt the fact that these characters are their mascots and yet they constantly have been disrespected by them, relegating them to being more obscure, and this movie is treating it like it's some kind of joke. And what's worse is that they don't even do anything to rectify that or question why they are so obscure now when it's all Warner Brothers' fault. The Looney Tunes have their fans, many of which are good filmmakers, So if you want them to be moneymakers, let the fans do what they think is right for the characters. As for Space Jam 2, due to a number of reasons, chief among them being the COVID-19 pandemic, it didn't make back enough money, and was blamed on being released on Max the same day. Nowadays, the Looney Tunes are making their own shorts on Max. They're comfortable there, and while they are funny, I feel the animation just isn't right for them. Maybe you can find more positive out of them, but they're not really for me. But we're not done talking about the Looney Tunes in movies just yet, as this episode has a bit of an epilogue. In 2018, Warner Brothers announced the production of a film called Coyote vs. Acme, based on a New Yorker article in which Wile E. Coyote, the toon who fanatically chases the Roadrunner, and my two favorite Looney Tunes, takes the Acme Corporation, the company that makes all the faulty machines he uses, to court. It was directed by Dave Green and written by Sammy Birch, who was just nominated for an Oscar for her script May December, alongside Jeremy Slater, who wrote and directed a few episodes of the Moon Knight series, and James Gunn. It stars Will Forte, alongside John Cena and Lana Condor. It was supposed to be released last year, but Warner Brothers decided to instead claim it as a tax loss instead of releasing it. This is similar to how the studio axed the Batgirl film, which was a film based around my favorite superhero. And I have not forgiven Warner Brothers for that, and probably never will until they make another Batgirl movie. And now they're doing it on the film based around my favorite Looney Tunes, so I'm not very happy about it. However, Coyote vs. Acme is not dead yet. Many in the industry were not happy with the move to shelve the film, convincing Warner Brothers to reverse their decision but give the option to sell it to a different company. Netflix, Paramount, and Amazon were the frontrunners to buy it, but none of them wanted the film for WB's asking price of around $80 million. That was a couple months ago, and the latest we heard of the project was from late March, where Birch said in an interview that the film was still in conversation and that hopefully it'll get released. And many people have campaigned for the film to get released. At the front of that campaign is the current voice of Bugs, Eric Bauza. He's been a strong advocate on the film and is really hoping it can get the recognition that many on the project thinks it deserves. And in my opinion, it's really stupid. Just release the film. Maybe the studio doesn't want history to repeat itself and not have another box office failure like the previous Looney Tunes movies, but still, studios release movies that don't make back their money all the time. What's one more going to do? My main problem is that you're going to make a film that a lot of people worked hard on and not show it? It's such an insult, not only to the filmmakers, but to those who wanted to see it. Hopefully Coyote vs. Acme gets released. Hopefully it's good. But regardless, the Looney Tunes will always be around. Despite the fact that their own company doesn't appreciate them, they're not going to die. At least not anytime soon. And if you're interested in Looney Tunes cartoons, seek them out! All of the films you saw today you can check out at your local library, and only Space Jam 2 is available to stream on Netflix and Max. And you can find some Looney Tunes shorts on Max, but I highly recommend the physical route when it comes to that. There's the 6 Golden Collection DVDs, which contain over 300 Looney Tunes shorts, or the 3 Platinum Collection sets, which contain less shorts, but more bonus content. So go ahead, seek them out, and have a grand old time. With Weston Media Center, I'm Joey Haskins. Thank you for 50 episodes, and I'll see you all next time.